Look at all these children. Isn't this awesome? God's going to answer those prayers. The children's church and children's ministry is going to just blossom and blossom. We love crying babies here, don't we? Say amen.
Amen.
We love crying babies. We love kids. We want to see a whole flock. It's a flock of kids. Is that what it is? Goats have kids, don't they? My wife keeps telling me that. I call them kids. Goats have kids. Praise the Lord. That is beautiful worship. Thank you, guys. Amen. Good morning. I want to just make another announcement about tonight. So if you guys can make it tonight, I think it's going to be awesome. Last year we had a lot of fun and raised quite a bit of money for missions. And so that's what it's all about tonight. And it's raising that money for missions. Right, Adam? Pardon me? And bring cakes, right. So Lynn's making her famous strawberry cake, made with real strawberries, and some Mexican vanilla there. And so definitely want to come tonight if you can. And also Wednesday night, I think it's going to be great. We've had about, so far, six or seven couples and a couple other folks. So about 15 people are going to come to the communication seminar at Morrison's Baptist. Single folks can come. That's okay. It's all about communications. And so I think that's great fitting for Valentine's Day. And they're going to have snacks and that sort of thing. And so I'm excited. So if you can meet us there at Morrison's Baptist Church Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I think it'll be very beneficial for us. All right. So good morning to you. We're going to be in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So if you haven't been with us a while, we've been in the book of Romans, and we're going to stay there as long as the Lord tells me to. Is that fair? I'm not sure how long we're going to go through the book of Romans, but we're started out at 1. Verse 1, and we're going to move all our way through, and I'm excited about this morning, so let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the precious praise and worship music this morning and the hymns, and Lord, thank you, yes, for all the children, Lord, that we saw going back to children's church, and just thank you so much for that, Father. And we pray for our youth group, Lord. Thank you for the little cool stuff that you did in the article, the Georgia Baptist Mission Board thing of... And Lord, we just want to bring you honor and praise and glory for everything. Thank you for Adam and Lori, Lord, and their faithfulness, and all the Sunday school teachers and everyone that has everything to do with things behind the scenes going on at Pauline Baptist. Lord, thank you for their loyalty and their faithfulness. And we just, the best way we know how, Lord, we just do all this to see people come into the kingdom. We see families restored, marriages healed. Lord, you know you've called us to be ministers of reconciliation, so it's all about that. And then all that is about bringing you glory and honor and lift up the name of Jesus as we try to do this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me out with this. Amen. All right, book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to be 1 through 5. So if you can, read with me. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Amen? So this morning, we're going to take a look at verse 5. I know we're creeping along through it, but we're learning and growing. At least I hope you are, right? So we're going to take a look at verse 5. And Paul is trying to get us to see the nature of grace. That the nature of grace is a free gift. And it's undeserved. The ultimate goal of grace is to glorify Christ's name among all people. That's what Paul's saying here. All the Gentiles, all the people, is to lift up the name of Christ. Now, grace is at the center. It's at the heart of everything that we believe as Christians. You really think about that. It really is. Grace is very precious reality, like the song. The interesting thing is, I don't know what songs they're going to do. I don't know what hymns they're going to make. I mean, Gary might text it to Lynn at the last minute to put it in the bulletin and all that. But when I'm preparing this on Monday and Tuesday nights, and sometimes Wednesday night, and sometimes Thursday night, but you know, when I'm preparing all this, I don't know what songs they're going to sing. So it's amazing. Paul probably can talk about this too. It's amazing, like this huge percentage of times, that I come in and I'm listening to the music. I'm going, oh, man, that was like everything I've been studying the whole week. You know, it's like God just puts it all together. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But thank you, Gary, for praying and listening to the Lord, you know, as you decide which songs to play. But grace is a precious reality. And my hope is that during this time that we spend in Romans, that I can show you kind of what grace is and how precious it really is. Now, the word grace is mentioned 155 times in the New Testament. 100 of those times are in Paul's writings. And then 1/4 of those are in the book of Romans. That's amazing. I believe that we really can't comprehend the book of Romans until we somewhat comprehend God's grace. Amen? So, we want to get used to it. So you want to get used to it. We're going to hear grace a lot during the next few weeks. We're going to hear it again and again. And the main reason is that grace is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's at the heart of the book of Romans, and it's definitely at the heart of God Almighty. How many watched intro? Opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Wasn't that nice? I really think they did a good job this year. It was beautiful. Patriotic. I love the way South Korea and North Korea to kind of come together as one sport team, and that was pretty cool. But I thought it was beautiful, a lot of creativity. Anybody see the drones? That blew my mind. Everybody know what a drone is? You know, drone. Sorry, my special effects sometimes I get carried away. But they had these. If you didn't see it, just bear with me for 30 seconds, okay? They're coming down this huge big snow mountain, right? Yeah, doing that. And they had these drones. How many did they say? 1,200 drones? That was lit up like white, you know? I can imagine all the dudes out there with remote controls trying to operate this. I was going to say, leave it to the Asians, you know, to do. That sounds kind of, it's not politically correct, you know, smart guys to figure that out. But they had all these drones that were all in the sky, like flying around. And then they made the drones in the sky look like a guy on a snowboard. And then at the end, they had this big ending where the drones all came together in the circles, the Olympic circles, in the sky, you know. Amazing, wasn't it? Amazing. So, you know, once I got to do my message, I don't know, I just threw it in there. No, just kidding. So, looking at grace, right? Grace, the world would look at grace. Or some folks would look at grace as some beautiful movement of an ice skater. You know, we see, you know, she or he is very graceful, you know. They look at that. Now, some would say that grace is something that we say at mealtime. You know, let's say grace. Now, some folks that maybe get a little bit more spiritual into it, they may say that grace is undeserved kindness. The best definition of grace that I've ever read or heard comes from a man named Philip Yancey. If you like to read, I encourage you to get some of his books. He's an author. He's written several books over the last decade or so. Philip Yancey, he wrote a book several years ago, maybe 10 years ago now. It's called What's So Amazing About Grace. Anybody read that book? Anybody? I highly encourage you. It's great. It's a great read. It's called What's So Amazing About Grace. Now I'm going to quote Philip Yancey. So here we go. I'm going to read it, so hang on. He said, "Grace is at the center of understanding that there is, ready, nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. And there is nothing I can do to make God love me any less." I mean, you really think about that. I'm going to read it again. Not to insult your intelligence here, but I'm going to read it again. Ready? It says, "Grace is understanding that there is nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. And there's nothing that I can do to make God love me any less." That's grace. That's biblical grace. God loves you. He loves me. He loved us even when we were sinners out in our mess. Christ loved us so much that he died on a cross for us. And he called us into his family. He loves me and my sin and everything. That's grace. I don't understand that kind of grace. Probably neither of us do, right? But God loves us. Psalms 145:8. This is the Lord, and this is our memory verse for the day, or for the week. Our memory verse for the week. "The Lord is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and is abounding in steadfast love." He loves you. He loves you, Trish. He does. Frankie, God loves you. So let's look at the biblical understanding of grace in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. So we're going to look at verse 5 today. "Now please allow me a few minutes to do a little overview. I've learned that repetition is the mother of all learning." Romans chapter 10, verse 17 backs this up. Okay, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It did not say that faith comes by "I heard at one time." He said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing it over, and hearing it over again and again. Now, looking at verse 1, we remember that Paul had introduced himself as a bondservant of Christ, and that he was called to be an apostle, and he was dedicated to the gospel of God. Then in verse 2 through 4, he talks about what the gospel of God is. That it was planned way before it even happened. And that this gospel of God was about God's Son. It was about the fulfillment of the Old Testament hopes. It was about the arrival of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of David, the Savior of the world, who would die on the cross and be raised from the grave. Now, Paul, once he got this established in Romans, here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, once Paul got this established about the power of the resurrection, the resurrected Messiah, then Paul could start talking about the amazing grace. Paul had established this death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And once he got that established, then he could start talking to them about what? About grace. Now, if you look at verse 5 here, he says, "Through whom we have received grace. Okay, grace comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace was obtained through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. Grace is poured out through the risen and reigning Son of God. Now I'm going to say something kind of strong here, so you kind of hang with me. For unbelievers, there is no grace toward unbelievers apart from the life and death and resurrection of Christ. There is no grace for unbelievers except for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When an unbeliever stands before God in heaven and he says, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" Anybody remember that from EE days? Evangelism explosion. They can't say anything about their works or how good they were or what they did for the church or how much money they gave to the church. The only answer, according to the Bible, is that I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the grave. And everything that is anything about me and where I'm at and in the world, in the universe, or anything has everything to do with Christ dying on the cross for me. I am completely, 100% depending on God's grace through the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. Amen? Aren't you? We had two men die at Penfield this week. They didn't actually die at Penfield, but they were clients. One was 61. He drank himself to death drinking a gallon of liquor every day. That's a lot of liquor. And one was 20 years old, graduated 3 weeks ago, left, went home. I was his counselor. And, got back with his crazy little girlfriend, and they don't know if he was drinking or drugging. Anyway, he wrecked the car, killed them both. It was very sad. I had many conversations with his mother, crying on the phone with me. So the good news of that is, that young man, 2 weeks before he graduated and left, sat in my office and cried like a baby and walked through the sinner's prayer and got saved and gave his life to Jesus. And got saved. That's the good news, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know anything about his girlfriend. Don't know. Not for me to judge. I don't know. I don't know if she's went this way and he went that way. I don't know. I know he's in heaven based on his public profession of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, doesn't it? He definitely got saved for sure. But her? I don't know. The 61-year-old who drank himself to death? I don't know. Don't know. We will all give an account, won't we? The only thing we have is grace. That's it. Jesus. Verse 5 says plainly that God gives us grace through Him, referring to Jesus Christ. So grace comes from God Almighty, and it comes through Jesus and His work and His gift. See, guys, Jesus did the work. He lived in human form and body. He lived on the earth. He lived a sinless life. He chose to die on that cross and be obedient to the Father. Plan and will. So Jesus did that work for us so that we don't have to try to do that work. Jesus earned that for us. Jesus paid the price for it, as Paul keeps talking about over and over. So he gives us the gift. It's a gift to us. It is not something we have a right to. It is not something that we can work for or that we can earn by our works. Jesus obtained it for us. We get it freely because of the obedience of the Messiah. Back to verse 5. Let me read it. Through whom we have received grace and, everybody say and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for whose sake? For His sake. For Jesus' sake. In this verse, we see how grace is connected with Paul's ministry. He was called to be an apostle. I don't believe that ministry gifting operates anymore in the world. I think that went away with the apostles. And when they died, you know, there's different theories about that. But, you know, that was Paul's calling. That was Paul's ministry. It was apostleship. One speaking with authority straight from Jesus. I mean, he met him on the road to Damascus, remember? I believe that was his calling, and he was equipped with the grace to fulfill it. God not only saved him from his sin, but he also gave him the grace to speak with authority to proclaim the good news. The good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. See, guys, the same grace, listen to me, the same grace lives inside of every believer. And He can give you the same power through the same grace, the same Holy Spirit. He can give you the same authority to speak and share the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost world. Y'all believe that? Absolutely. It's the same grace, the same Holy Spirit, the same authority. The same power to give you the confidence, the courage, the motivation, the willingness, or whatever it takes for you to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, your family member. His grace is sufficient for you. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil that says you can't share your story because you're past, or you're not smart enough, or you can't say it right, or you're not good with words. Don't believe any of that lie. That's a lie from the devil trying to keep you from sharing the gospel. It may be as simple as giving out one of those DVDs. Please take one. I got 100 for the church. If y'all don't take them, I'll have to give away 79 DVDs. Take one or two or three. The idea is that I got them for our church, 100 of them, the Jesus movies. It's literally the book of Luke or John. Which one is it? I think it's Luke. One of them. It's literally they acted out the scripture from either Luke or John, I can't remember. The idea is to give them away because it's in different languages, 20-something different languages. So if you go like Chinese restaurant or Mexican restaurant or Korean or Indian or whatever, you know, that you give out one to maybe your waiter or somebody, as the Lord puts on your heart. Give it to anybody and give it to Bubba down the street. I don't care. You know, give them away, please, please. What is your calling? What has God called you to do? Now you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it 1,000 other times in the future. What has God called you to do? It could be something very, very, very small, but meaningful and powerful. Or it could be something big. You know, what has God called you to do? If God has called every one of you, all believers, He's called you. He is. In the ministry. Every single believer in here. Maybe not a fivefold ministry gift like pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, you know. But maybe God's called you to do this or that or this or that. But if He's called you, and I know He has, then He's given you the grace to do it. Just being a teacher is a calling, isn't it? Yeah. It's a mission field. War zone. Really, I mean, you know, pray for our teachers, you know, for real. Nurse, truck driver, carpenter, doctor. Indian chief. We're all called to do it. Now, it's hot in here. Is it hot in there, y'all? Maybe it's just me. I'm excited about this. How do we get grace? How do we get grace? We don't. We receive it. We receive grace as a gift from Jesus. Now, I've got to point this out. Does it mean that He gives us it in response to our good works? No. Grace is not God's response to our deserving or earning it. Okay? Grace is God's gift before we do anything good. And it's before His enabling of us to do anything good. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to Him, this is Romans 4, 4. Now to Him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now, in other words, grace is not what you get when you work for somebody. Okay, that is what that person owes you. Okay, grace is never owed. God doesn't owe us anything. It's always a free bonus based on His love and His overflowing and mercy. Romans 11:6. Keep jumping into Romans, but these verses just keep going back and forth. Romans 11:6. Romans 11:6. Let me read it. And if by grace, everybody with me? If by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Paul's driving it home now. But it is of works, then it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Sounds kind of confusing if you really start thinking about it. But therefore, what it really means is that faith, okay, grace is based on our faith. It's not anything that we can work for. Now, here's a kicker right here. Ready? It says that we have to be able to acknowledge that it comes freely. Be able to acknowledge that it comes freely. It is nothing that we did, nothing that we do to earn it. And this is what I believe, and I'm closing now, okay? This is, I believe that grace is love. Grace is just love beyond anything I can imagine. I believe that God baptizes every believer at the moment of salvation with His Holy Spirit and empowers each believer with the ability to love the Gentiles, as this verse talks about, as the world, the unbelievers. He gives us this grace. Our grace is sufficient for you. Paul is teaching us that God gives each of us the grace, the ability, the love to be able to share the good news of Christ. And based on this verse 5, why? It all sums up with to be able to glorify the name of Jesus. To be able to point people to Christ. To acknowledge this world that it's all about Jesus. It's a gift. That's it, period. It's a gift from God. So we can look at the world and say, it's nothing I did or I do. It's not about that. See, God loves you just as much as He loves Billy Graham. He might have a few more treasures up in heaven, right? But when it comes to God's amazing grace, He loves him just as much as you. Loves me just as much as Billy Graham. I use Billy Graham as an example. Bless his heart. He's still hanging in there, isn't he? God loves. It's not based on whether you fast 3 hours a day or 3 years. You, not fasting for 3 years, but whatever you do, God loves you. He loves. His grace is sufficient for you. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing grace. We love you. Father, if there's one here today that does not know Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that you'll have them come down during this song of invitation, and I'll be glad to pray with them. We love you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.